Well, tonight we'll enter this time of question and answer. And fortunate that we don't take these from the floor. You have to submit these in writing, or you can tell me. Hopefully you write it down, because my handwriting, I've wrote stuff down. And some of you ask me questions I've got home, and after I wrote it down, I go, what in the world is that? And those of you that have seen my handwriting would understand that. It's horrible. So you can email them. You can give them to the church. Put them in a little box, Sunday school box. Joanne gets them to me. Or just hand them to me. And if you tell me not to tell people that you asked the question, I won't. I forget anyway, so it doesn't matter. Unless you've emailed it to me, I go back and what was that they sent to me? So you're welcome to submit questions, any question. Some of them, if they need to be answered in private, we can answer those in private. Or if there's stuff you want to be presented to the whole congregation, the whole church, then submit those as well. But if you have your Bibles, you want to open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've tackled some pretty tough questions. All the questions I get are all legitimate questions, all very good questions. Tonight we're going to look at church membership, taking on a couple, two or three different questions. And that happens very often, that different people will word the same question in different ways. Or within that question you are answering, a couple other questions you want to include with that. In this case, we have, is belonging to the church, or is church membership important, being the local body, joining a church? Is church membership important, and just how important is it? Another question is, watching the services online the same as the worship when we come together, does that, I guess, get you out of trouble with God? I don't know. Some people come to church to think they're getting out of trouble with God just to be there. Oh, I'm just going to church to stay out of trouble. That's not the reason we come. But is watching the service online the same as gathering together for corporate worship? And thank you to those people that submitted the questions. And if you were thinking of submitting it, or if you did, thank you very much for that. This is a good question about commitment in a time when people are rarely making commitments to anything. I think Stan used this in a sermon once, and I don't know who said it. It probably wasn't a preacher, but if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. And church membership is one of those things that you need to stand for. I believe the answer to those questions, as far as is church membership important and how serious is it, it would be, yes, it's important, and yes, it's very serious. There seems to be a wait-and-see-what-happens attitude with people these days. And then there's the other group that just really, they just don't really take it serious at all, or have a total disregard for the church and for a membership in the church. This is not meant to scold anybody. It's meant to take a biblical view of what Scripture says truthfully, because we need to know the truth. We need to be told the truth. And for years, I struggled as a false church member, as a unconverted church member, because the truth was never shared with me. Thank God for people that share the truth, and I knew the gospel. The gospel, the true gospel, was revealed to me. The same with the other truths. We've all looked at Scripture and said, I had no idea. I was wrong. I need to change that. And this may be one of those for you. It may be just an aha moment. Yeah, I thought so. And it kind of backs up what you already know about the Scriptures and what it says. And we can't base the blame solely on those who do not take church membership seriously when we look at this, because the church itself, as a whole, over the past 50 years, has lessened the value or the seriousness or the importance of church membership, allowing people to join for any reason without any concern for their true heart or anything about them. A.W. Tozer, I think it was, that said that the church will never rise above its leaders, and leadership has really failed in a lot of different ways in the church in the last 50 years. And the the premise or in the desire to put a bunch of people together in one spot and brag about how many people we've got in our church. And you can gather 2,000 people together, or you can gather two together. And if two are going to heaven and the 2,000 are going to hell, which group do you want to be in? That's the simple answer is, I'd rather go to heaven. I hope that's what you would say. I want to be the two going to heaven. And I'm not saying that every church that has a lot of people is teaching a false message, but I'm just saying in the desire to have numbers, they've lessened church membership to mean less than what it should. Less than what the Bible says, and less than what church history shows that it has meant for many years and what the Bible says it means still today. They've caused a lot of people to stumble over this issue of church membership. And we've seen this most recently with our Southern Baptist Convention. You hear some rumblings, and some of you have approached me about the Southern Baptist Convention and about the new liberal president which we have, a man whose views do not line up with those who he and J.D. Greer, the former president, would look at me and Stan and you sitting here and call us extreme conservatives. And they do not line up with us. And that would cause many to struggle with church membership, I'm sure, with looking at people who've had that up. But the fortunate thing about the Southern Baptists is they don't tell me what to preach. And they don't tell me what the church, tell us what the church is to believe or teach. They have no impact on what goes on as far as our ministries. So I disagree with those two men greatly on a lot of different issues. And we'll see what happens with that. And there may come a day that churches like ours will have to separate from groups like that. And it may come sooner rather than later. That is a discussion for another time and for other things. But we wait till the dust settles before we make a decision on that. There's a lot of stuff going on with that these days. But let's turn our attention away from men and away from really conventions. And let's look at Scripture as our authority on church membership. This section we've turned to in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it doesn't seem like it was that long to me that we were in 1 Corinthians, but looking back, it was several years ago that we went through 1 Corinthians together here on Wednesday evening. So some of you may not even have been here at that time. I'm not going to re-preach a message, but I'm going to look at the Scripture as it pertains to church membership. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning reading in verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also in Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be in bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And the whole body, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body." Remember that. God's sovereign hand set the members. If you're in a church, God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it had pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have need of you, no need of you. Nay, much more than those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body which think to be less honorable, upon these bestow more abundant honor, and our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body, or that word translates in most of your translations as composed or put together the body. Again, God puts the church together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Verse 25 says that there should be no schism in the body. Our brother just prayed, Brother Eddie, that we'd be unified. It's talking about unity in the body. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, then all the members rejoice with it. Now you are one body of Christ, and members in particular. A lot of hard reading there with understanding with what it is. But don't get your eyes off on the complication of the way the wording's done in the Old English, and look at the fact that it talks about one body that God has put together, and that is the church, assembled together. It says in the beginning that all who are born again, all who are drawn by God's sovereign hand into salvation, at that point of salvation, they are part of the body of Christ, which is the true church. And God composes it as He pleases, it says in that section of Scripture. And it's something that we all can agree on. But what about becoming a member of the local assembly? What about becoming a member of Liberty, or of becoming a member of the church as a meeting place? Is that something we have to do, or is that an option? Or maybe you think, what's the big deal with the church? And that seems to be the thing with people today, is what's the big deal? And people change churches like they change socks these days. And it's amazing that they don't take it more serious than that. Now, we're just going a different direction. If the church you're going to, I've heard that so many times, and I want to address that, and that's a rabbit hole, and I'm not going too far. But people say, I'm going a different direction. I know that this church is going toward God and toward drawing its people closer to God. That's the direction we're going. If you're going a different direction, you're going the wrong direction. I just want to put that in there. You're going the wrong direction. We're headed toward God. Where are you going if you're going a different direction? I don't understand that. But although we don't see the statement in the Bible, wouldn't it be nice if it says, thou shalt not, or thou shalt on everything? If it just made it that clear. If it said, thou shalt join the local assembly. If we found that, we don't find that in Scripture. But the Word of God is clear that all who are born again are to gather together. I mean, it's the overall theme of the New Testament. And it's not to be a burden. It's not to be a punishment to go to church. It's not going to keep God happy, because if you don't go, He's going to get mad. He's going to get you. That's not what going to church is about. It's not about, oh boy, I have to go to church. Church membership is to be a joy. We're all like-minded to come together with people, as we talked about when we first began, what a blessing it is to come together with people who are like-minded. And nobody's going to drop some vulgar word that's going to just disturb you, or talk about something that just shakes you to the core that you do not want to hear about and you don't want to participate in. You're in the sanctuary of God's people. And there is a blessing to that. And there's a joy that comes with gathering together. A truly born-again believer is given a new heart and a new nature. We talk about that often. Scripture tells us of that. But that new heart and new nature now desires to be obedient to God, and desires the things of God and delights in God, as we've read just recently in the Psalms, and delights in the people of God. Hebrews 10 speaks of the New Testament, the new covenant of all who were born again. If you want to turn there, we're going to jump around and look at different scripture, and we'll go back to 1 Corinthians. We'll be in several different places. And some of you are thinking, why didn't he put it on that up there? Because I don't always go the direction that I give it to them, and it confuses them, you and me. So we'll use our Bibles. How's that? And dust them off. I don't have a problem with putting it up there, but if I followed it exactly, I just don't follow exactly even my own notes. So Hebrews 10. We know verse 25 well, but we're going to back up to verse 16. We're going to read down through and get context here as we address the church on the subject of church membership and gathering together. Hebrews 10, verse 16 says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart and on their mind. I will write them, he then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. And thank God that he doesn't. Now, where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. It means there's no need to offer for sin, because God's forgiven you. You don't have to offer that again. Verse 19 picks up with a new way of living here. It says, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence, we're saved, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Christ Jesus, by a new and living way which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is His flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another, provoke one another to love and to good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And that day is the day of the coming of our Lord, the second coming of Christ. COVID's really caused people to really jump off some cliffs on setting a date on when Jesus is coming back. But all who read Scripture know that we're a day closer than we were yesterday. And we see wise people who considered theologians saying that it really, really gives you a sense of urgency when you look around at things, that the end may be closer than we thought it was. And this whole forsaking together, we draw together even more, it says, when we see the day approaching. So when things like COVID happened, instead of abandoning the church, you would think that people would come together more as Scripture commands. That's not an option. So to answer the question before, is it optional? No, it's not. Scripture does not give way for you to have an option whether you're a part of the church or not. If you're not a member of a church, a local assembly, you are in error, in sin, because you violate what the Scripture says. And clearly this section of Scripture calls for believers to gather together. The whole section, it talks about us gathering together with our hearts right, worshiping God together, provoking and stimulating one another to good works. That's hard to do when you're not around each other. That's hard to do when you don't see people, right? It's hard to provoke me into something if you don't see me. If I'm hiding from you, or if you're not here, I don't ever see you. It's hard to provoke me to good works. And if some random stranger reaches out to me to get me to do something that he thinks is good, my first response is, who are you anyway? And why are you doing this? See, the idea of provoking one another is a family type position we're looking at. Together, the body, as we just read in 1 Corinthians, one body together, the hand, the feet, the eyes, all of it working together, provoking to good works. Heart that leads the eyes to focus and then gets the hands to grab the Bible and pick it up and read it. That's a good thing. Provoke people to read the Word of God. It's hard to provoke someone to do good works when you're not around each other to do that. Philippians 2, a letter to the church assembled at Philippi, calls for assembling and growing together. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4, and I'll read it. You can turn if you want, but I'll go ahead and read it to you if you want to listen. Philippians 2, beginning in verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. As Eddie didn't know we were on this tonight, and he prayed that earlier. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of other. All these things are hard to do when you're not around each other. It all comes from a heart of people who know each other, who are around each other, who are working together, worshiping together. They have a relationship with each other. Like-minded. If we're not around each other, we're not going to be like-minded. Stan and I try to meet every week. We study the same Scripture. Not just the same Bible, we have the same theology book. We're studying so that we are like-minded. It doesn't just happen. We're learning together what the Scriptures say. We do that as a whole, as a church. We are all in Sunday school. We're in church and we're in Bible study. All those things are chosen. All the studies we have are chosen so that we're all going the same direction. So that we're all like-minded, provoking each other to good works, to follow what the Scriptures say, with the Scripture being all authority. It's necessary to be together to do that. Yes, you can learn from TV. Yes, you can learn from podcasts. I use all those mediums myself to learn. We're talking about the church. texting and phone calls, even Zoom calls, streaming the services. All of these things are good things, but they will not take the place of gathering together of the saints as Scripture demands. Gathering in unity, of one accord, like-minded. A text, even for example, you get a text from somebody you don't know, somebody that never comes to church, and they text you, you really don't know who it is. They're lucky if you read it, right? You're not going to read that text. I'm going to open that up. Who's this from? Who is this? But when Stan texts me to encourage me, and he does, it means something. But it's not the same as when he grabs me by the hand and he puts his arm around me and says, I love you, brother. It's different. That's what the church is about. It has feeling behind it. It has sincerity to it. We worship together. We serve together. We work together. We grow together. That's the church. It's what church is about. It's not just about showing up. And I'm convinced that a lot of people come to church just to keep God off their back. I really believe that. Or they take it more serious. Because every time, watch, when they hit trouble and they think God's on their back, they show up again. And then once everything goes okay, then they're gone again. But let trouble come, God's on my back again, I got to come back to church. They're like yo-yos. As a church, we worship together, we serve together, we work together, we grow together. And streaming calls, Zoom calls, some wonderful texts that have been written and emails, all are great things, but they will never, ever take the place of gathering together the saints. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians church that we've started with, and by the way, if you remember when we went through that study, we talked about it in the introduction that that letter was actually read to the congregation. A lot of the letters were read to the assembly because they were written to the assembly. A few of those were written to pastors who were the leaders of the churches, but a lot of the letters to the churches were actually read to them. And it goes to the next church and read to the next church, which was a group of people gathered together. But 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, as he's talking to the church, the whole assembly, he's telling them to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul called upon those assembled together at Corinth to remain steadfast, even though they faced great persecution, to remain in the truth of the Word of God, to remain steadfast in what they were doing in obedience to God, unmovable and steadfast. We need to write a letter to all who belong, who are members on our church list, not just Liberty, but every good Bible preaching church needs to write a letter and include 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, and call these people back to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And if that's not who you are, then the chances are you're not saved, but you're not going to be a member of this church, because that's what a church member does. And if you're not doing that, if you're not steadfast, immovable, and abounding in the work, means more than just sitting on a pew, then you're not part of the church. You may be here. You may be here for everything. But you're not part of the church. To be part of the church, you are contributing something to the church. You're participating by contributing. If you're not doing that, to quote Stephen Lawson, you are only sucking resources from the church. And you're not being a part of it. We're called to serve and do the work of the Lord. Always abounding in that work. A lot of people say they don't let me do what I want to do. They don't let me do what I want to do either. We do what God calls us to do, and that changes from time to time. We do what needs to be done. And the Word of God so greatly and clearly emphasizes the importance of gathering together in the local assembly, which we call the church. Here's some of what John MacArthur says about membership. It's actually on their statement for their whole church, for Grace Community Church. This is in the early church that coming to Christ was coming to the church. The idea of experiencing salvation without belonging to a local church is foreign to the New Testament. When individuals repented and believed in Christ, they were baptized and added to the church. You can read that in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, if you want to go look it up. I know where it is. And more than simply living out a private commitment to Christ, this meant joining together formally with other believers in a local assembly and devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and the breaking of bread and prayer. That's Acts 2:42. Acts 2:41 says, "So then those who had received the word were baptized." Those who were saved, who received the word, had ears to hear. God opened their ears. They were baptized. And that day they were added about 3,000 souls. What a great service that was when Peter preached. And then verse 42 follows it up. Says they were continually devoting themselves at that point, after that, to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, it says. That's the gathering together and the breaking of bread and to prayer. All together as the assembly. That's the church. Does that look like what you're doing? Because I got to ask myself that too. Is that what I'm doing? Am I part of the church? Or am I like Stephen Lawson challenged? Am I just sucking resources? People in the early church, the first century church that we see in the book of Acts, and we went through that in here for a while too, they got saved and they immediately joined in the assembling of the saints. They continually devoted themselves to the teaching and preaching as well. So for to consider the assembly of the church as important, we look at all the scripture and how it says that. If you look at all the epistles, they were written to mostly the church. A couple of them, as I said, were written to pastors who were the leaders of the churches for the church and its edification. The modern idea that there's no need for a born-again believer to belong to a local assembly, as John MacArthur said, is foreign to church history and foreign to the Scriptures. We, whether we admit it or not, not only are commanded by God, but we need each other. And most people hate to admit they need anything. We're all looking out for ourselves. But we need each other. Let this church empty out and begin to preach to nobody. And watch the tears just flow. It breaks your heart. And to see people that you know and love not be here anymore and to drift away. And you don't know where they are. Breaks your heart. We need each other. We empty our lives into each other. It's what we do as the church. This whole stuff that the world's talking about, we're all in this together, garbage. Go be the world and leave me alone. The church is here in this together because we know the truth. We encourage each other. We grow together. We actually correct each other. And we all need that. So to answer the question, is church membership important? And I know the person that asked me that question knew the answer to this question, but wanted it presented in these days and probably a good time. So the answer is yes. Yes. Emphatically, yes. It's important. Based on the Word of God, it is important. And I would say that it's mandated and commanded by Scripture. So much so that those who refuse to obey it are both in error and in danger. Those people who are in error, what I mean by that is that they're being disobedient to what the Word of God says. And if you're a true child of God and you're disobedient and you're willfully disobedient, you face the chastising hand of God. We said that with church discipline. God chastises those who are His own. So you're in error and in danger of that. But not only in danger of that, but you're also away from the protection of the church. There's a type of protection that's over you in the church. It's not some spooky little thing that the Holy Spirit has got to circle around you or anything like that. But there's a protection over the church. You have people around you who love you, who are going to come to you, tap you on the shoulder and say, "Listen, I need you to help me do this." Or, "Do you need me to do this for you?" Or, better yet, "What you're about to get into, that is some bad stuff. You need to stay away from that." Accountability, love, encouragement. We have that with each other. And when you're out of the church, you don't have that. We need that accountability. We're prone to wander. Not to mention, you're not under the preaching of the Word of God. And I doubt if you're out of the church, if you're reading the Scripture like you should. You've often heard people talk about lions who attack herds of animals, and they always attack the ones outside the pack, and people use that to describe the church. Probably a very valid picture. I don't see it in Scripture, but it's probably a very good illustration of what happens to those that are dangling around the edges. We do know that Satan is a lion who is about roaring about seeing who he might devour, who would be the easiest to devour, those that are not in church. Matthew 18, we went through a little bit last week, shows us some of the protection that we have as members of the body. Matthew 18, verse 15 says, "If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens, you have won your brother." I covet that. I need that. And I don't know of a person in this room or any believer that would say they don't need somebody to come to them and tell them. Because I can mess up royally. And some of you are nodding your head with too much nod there. But we all can mess up. And we need that accountability. We need to be reeled in. It's accountability. We assemble together. We worship together. We serve together. We love each other enough together that we hold each other accountable. Membership is a blessing. As Mark said, a blessing to be here. The people care enough about you to help you fix things, even when you mess them up. And as a member, you're also brought under the protection of the leadership of the church. That actually means something, believe it or not. It's in Scripture that God not only puts you in a church, but He also places the leaders of the church. Just like He chooses who's president, who's king, and even chooses the country we're born in, His sovereign hand chooses who are leaders of the church. And as a member of the church, you're under that protection, under that responsibility. Hebrews 13, a scripture that a lot of people need mailed to them as well. Verse 17 of Hebrews 13 says, "Obey them that have rule over you," talking about the church, "and submit yourselves, for they watch after your souls." This next one's heavy on those who are leaders. It says, "They must give an account for that, and that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you." As a church member, you're under the protection of the pastors and the leaders who are commanded by God to pray and watch after your souls. And those pastors and those leaders are placed in local assemblies by God and given the responsibility to shepherd and watch out for the flock. Protection from wolves from without, but also even protection from your own wicked desires and your own wicked heart. So we answer the question, church membership, is it important? It is very important. It's vitally important for our protection. And God takes it serious. We should take it serious if He takes it serious. Psalm 37, we went through a few weeks ago. The steps of man are established by the Lord. Proverbs 9, Stan went through the Proverbs and we went through them in Sunday school. The mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Talking about the sovereignty of God and what He does and where He takes us to. It's not by mistake that we're here for this moment in time to hear this message about church membership. But even more specific, it is God who adds to the church. In that same Acts section of chapter 2, after the great 3,000, after Peter preached, verse 47 says, praising God and having favor. This is what the church was doing. They were praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. God established the church. He adds to the church. And He takes it serious. Therefore, it should be important to all His children. I know the streaming's there and some people cannot be here. There are people who are physically unable to be here. I understand that. And I'm glad we have that, and we'll always probably have that. As long as we have the technology, we will have that. It's a great thing to have. But it does not take the place of assembling together with the saints. It does not. So church membership's important. To answer your question, and no video, no stream takes the place of what Scripture commands that we do. Gather together and be the church. I hope that you learned something. There's some Scripture to study and to go over. There's so much more. And we can't go over all that. We actually went over a little bit on that. It's hard to believe there's so much more about the church. Beautiful picture of the church. The bride of Christ. That's who we are. Let's pray. Father God, we praise You tonight. Lord, that You brought us to this place and this time that we might hear Your Word and be taught by the Holy Spirit amongst Your people. Lord, we pray that our hearts are just full of Your Word, that what we've learned of You and Your church and Your desires for the church and Your desires for ourselves would continue to be in our minds, that we would meditate on these things, and that we would not adjust our thinking or do away with what we've heard, but that we would allow this to continue to work and to change us to be more like You, to be more obedient to You, that You might be glorified in all things. Lord, we praise You for this time we've had together tonight. We thank You for all the times we get together and assemble together and to exalt Your name. May You be glorified in all that we do each time we gather. We pray this in Jesus' name. We'll have a time now.